I'm a little emotional this morning, so y'all just bear with me. John chapter number 6 is where we'll be taking our reading from. John chapter number 6. I do ask you to be much in prayer for us as we get into God's Word. You know, a little different for me this morning. I had a couple of rough days with Autumn. Look, there's some preachers that can take the Old Testament and they can tear it apart, man. They can bring a message and they tie it back into the New Testament. And when you get done, you're like, or when they get done, you leave church and you're like, man, I am so much smarter about the Bible because I listened to that message today. That's not what you're getting from me. I'll just tell you that right now. I have not been, maybe I'm not studied well enough. Maybe it's my fault, but it doesn't seem like my gift is to go in there and tear the Old Testament apart and just dig deep and study and bring it to y'all and just reveal God's Word to you. But so this morning, you're probably going to get a lot of real life experience from me from the past few days and a lot of examples out of my life. And I don't mean when I say some of the things that I say this morning, I know that some of y'all have been through things that are far worse than what we've been through the past couple of days. God has blessed Autumn to get her through her surgery and to take care of her. And man, it's just been a couple of, I'm not used to Autumn being in pain and different things. And it's been really tough for us. And she can't get comfortable and those kinds of things. We've had some really long nights and some long days, matter of fact. But some of y'all have been through stuff that's way worse than that. I'm not trying to compare what she's going through, but I want to give you some examples of how God's been there for us and some of the things that God's done through the middle of this. And this will probably be one of the weakest sermons. Actually, I told Autumn before I left this morning, she was having a tough morning and I was rushing around. I couldn't even make it here for Sunday school. And I told her, I said, if you want to hear one of the weakest sermons that's ever been preached, you go to Fellowship Baptist Church this morning. You'll hear one of the weakest sermons that's ever been preached. Hey, I've had time this week in the hospital. I've read my Bible and studied and had a thought on my mind, but it's just hard to get it all to come together. So I told her, I said, if you want to hear one of the weakest sermons, you go to Fellowship Baptist Church this morning, and you can hear one of the weakest sermons that's ever been preached. And then God tapped me on the shoulder and said, boy, it ain't about you. It ain't about what you've been through. It ain't about how you feel. See, because in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4, verse number 12, the Bible says that the Word of God is quick, that it's powerful, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. See, it's not me. If you come to church to see me and to feel my emotion and to feel what I'm going to bring to you and what I'm going to tear apart for you and what I'm going to feed you, and that's always my goal, is to feed you some of the Word of God to help you through the week, to help you when maybe Satan attacks. That's my goal. My main goal is to present the gospel to a lost and a dying world, so if there's somebody here that's lost, that they will come to know Jesus Christ and escape hell for eternity. That's my main goal. But other than that, I want us all to be fed as Christians. But you know what? It's not about me. It's not about whether I've had time to sit down and just really put a message together. And y'all know I usually got a folder up here with two or three pages full of notes, and today you're getting it off of an index card. So it's not about what I'm going to do, though. It's about the Word of God. The Bible tells me that the Word of God is quick, that it's powerful, and that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So if you'll listen for just a few minutes this morning about the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to your heart and let the Word of God be real to you, and then it doesn't matter what I do, and it doesn't matter how much I stutter and stammer and how much I forget and how much that I say the wrong words and all those kinds of things, it'll be the Word of God that speaks to your heart this morning, and the Word of God is never weak. The Word of God is always quick and powerful. So as we get into John chapter number 6 this morning, John chapter number 6 is the verses of Scripture that's been on my mind, been on my heart. Before we do, I want to go to the Lord in word of prayer. And Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. And God, I ask you just to move in this service today. God, I want to thank you for your presence that I've already felt. God, thank you for the choir singing this morning. God, I want to thank you for rescuing us when we need rescuing us, for saying that we're yours, God, for being there when it seems like no one else is, God, or no one else can be, that you're always there for us. God, I pray, dear Father, that you'll speak to our hearts as Christians, God. Help us to realize how real the Word of God is in our lives and how much it can speak to us and mean to us, God, in those times that we don't even know that we need it. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We're going to read in John chapter number 6 here in just a minute, but last night, after I was trying to help Autumn with some stuff, and she's having sort of a tough time, I was walking through the house, and I hope Addie don't kill me for telling this, but I was walking through the house, and you know, just kind of, I had this scripture on my mind and thinking about what was going to preach today, and I look over, and Addie's got a little notebook that she likes to doodle in, and actually some people sent some to the hospital, so they got new notebooks, and they're writing in these new notebooks, and man, I find stuff all over the place. Sometimes I'll look up on my bulletin board at work, and there'll be a little note that says, "Work your butt off, Daddy," or something like that. There's always just little notes hanging everywhere. But last night I looked over, and Addie had her little notebook, and she was writing in it, and I'm going to share what I seen on that, because it wasn't something silly, but it was really beautiful, and I seen a verse of scripture on her little notebook. And I looked down at it, and I seen her verses of scripture, and I grabbed my phone and I hit my Bible app, and I went in there and I read those verses of scripture right quick, and man, God just spoke to my heart through it. So this morning on the way to church, I said, "Addie," I said, she had a little notebook with her, and I said, "Hey, is that your notebook that you was writing in last night?" She said, "No, this is the new one." I said, "Okay," because I was really going to show y'all what she drew. But so I said, "Well, what was those verses of scripture that you wrote down on that?" And she told me the verses of scripture again. And I said, "Well, read those to me." She said, "Hang on a minute, let me get my phone." And she, I don't know if I get through this or not. She got her phone out, punched up the scriptures on her phone, and that's as far as we got. She broke down and started crying, and then I knew what the scriptures was, so I started crying along with her. And I was sitting there thinking, man, how good is it that we serve a God that is big enough to hold this whole universe, that knows where every star is in the sky, that created us, and they can't even figure all of us out. But we got to serve a God that's that big, but he's a God that's so personal that he loves my 12-year-old daughter so much to just squeeze her heart when she needs squeezing. That we serve a God that's so big that he's in control of everything, but he loves you so much at Fellowship Baptist Church this morning that he knows the numbers of hair on your head this morning, that he knows your name this morning. I want to share the verses of scripture that she had on her notebook last night. It was 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, that sounds just like words on a page. But when you look down and you see your 12-year-old daughter, and you know that she sees what mama's going through, what daddy's going through, and what she can think of is that I have a God that I can call on that hears my prayers, that cares about what, man, if that don't stir you a little bit this morning, something's going on. I'm about to freeze to death standing up here in front of you. That you have a God that loves you so much that no matter what you're going through, that no matter where you're at, when you call on his name, that he opens his ears to you, that he hears your petitions, and that if you ask it in his will, that he's willing to grant you anything that you ask of him. And not for that just to be real to a 35-year-old, to a 40-year-old, but to my 12-year-old daughter, that God loves her that much and that God loves me even though I'm so unworthy. I was sitting back there in the waiting room the other day as Autumn was having her surgery, and I done really good. I didn't get too bad worried. I'd been praying for it, and I knew it was in God's hands, and I was sitting there, and man, the surgery just went on and on. It went exactly how long it was supposed to go, but it felt like forever, and all of a sudden, the doctor come out and said that everything went good. And then somebody that's really special to me was able to go back. They got some pull at the hospital. They were willing to go back and see Autumn and come out and say, "Hey, I've seen Autumn. She looks good. Everything's good." You know what overcome me? What overcome me is, why in the world, the kind of Christian that I am, the failure that I am, the way that I don't live for God as strong as I should and follow God in all of his ways all the time, that God loves me so much to grant my prayers and take care of my wife, that God loves me so much to hear my prayers and be there with my, and you say, "Well, maybe he wasn't hearing yours." He may not have been, but I want to tell you something. God filled my heart at that very moment, knowing that I'm a failure, that I'm a sinner, that my eyes get off of God from time to time, but yet he loves me so much that he's right there with me everywhere that I am. I'm going to tell you what, we serve a great big God this morning, and he is worthy of our honor, our glory, our praise. He is worthy of our surrendering unto him. This morning, if you're here and you're in a place that you don't know exactly which way your life is going, maybe you're in a place that, hey, you want to be what God wants you to be, and you want to follow God, but man, the world looks good too. Let me tell you for just one thing real quick. This world can't do anything for you the way that God can do for you. First of all, this world cannot save your soul from hell. This world would not give itself for you like God was willing to give Jesus Christ for you. John chapter number 6, let's get to the message. It's going to tie right in. John chapter number 6, let's start reading with verse number 60. The Bible said, many, therefore, his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? So all of a sudden, Jesus has given the disciples some hard saying, some teaching that they're not sure about. You know, it didn't settle with them. You know, we all like heaven messages. And even the disciples, they liked heaven messages. They wanted for Christ to tell them how good everything was, and they wanted for Christ to do miracles, and they wanted to be part of the healings and all that. But now, all of a sudden, Jesus has given them some hard sayings. And I know sometimes, even God's word, as I preach, begins to be hard sayings. And that's where it is right here. So that Jesus has given the disciples these hard sayings. Verse number 61, the Bible says, and when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? You know, there's Sundays that I go get in the truck, and I look at all of them, and I said, that may have been my last one to preach, because some of that wasn't hard to, but that was hard to swallow. It's hard for me to swallow some of them. I know sometimes we touch on some subjects that probably some of you don't agree with me on, and that's okay. You don't have to agree with me as long as you're not disagreeing with this. But I try to stay in this, so if you're disagreeing with me, you're probably disagreeing with this, but I'll let that lay. We'll just leave that right there. So verse number 62, the Bible says, What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know what? Sometimes the word of God, like we talked about before, we was talking about how it was quick, it was powerful, and it was sharper than any two-edged sword. Sometimes when I get to reading the word of God and my life don't line up with what it's saying, it hurts. I've had preachers get up and preach messages, and when they got done, I was actually mad, just to be honest with you. I can't believe they would say that. They don't know my situation. They don't know that. And for them to get up there and preach that, and as long as they were in the word of God, I shouldn't have been mad at them. I should have been confessing to God and saying, God, help me with where I'm at. But I want you to look what happened here with some of the followers. These sayings were hard. It wasn't stuff that they wanted to hear. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, and from that time forward, some of his disciples went back. My question to you this morning is, what in the world is there to go back to? I mean, the devil, he paints such a pretty picture of what's going on out here in this world and how that sin is pleasurable. And even the Bible says that it is pleasurable for a season. And even, you know, even some of our teenagers, as they're getting out of school and they have their summertime, or maybe they've even graduated and they're in a place that they're going to make decisions. Or am I going to go the way of the world, or am I going to go the way that God has laid out for me and God's will for my life? I want to tell you this morning that the way of the world, it may be pleasurable for a small time. It may be fun for a small time, but I'm going to tell you, at some time or the other, that fun is going to run out. That small time is going to run out, and you're going to find yourself in trouble. You're going to find yourself bound. You're going to find yourself in a bad place spiritually and physically in this world. So as these disciples were, and it says, from that time forward, they went back and walked no more with him. Verse number 67, then Jesus said unto the 12. So after these followers have just left, Jesus looked unto the 12 and said, will you also go away? Hey, I would say that each and every one of us in this congregation this morning can think of someone in our life that is close to us, that maybe they used to go to church with us. Maybe they used to sit right beside of you. Maybe they sung in the choir with you, whatever. And you can think of someone in your life that used to be in that place, and now they're back out in the world. They're letting the devil have control of their life. They've let sin come back in. And probably if you're like me, most of the ones that I know like that, they are in serious trouble right now. Maybe not with the law, maybe, but they're in some kind of serious trouble right now because they turned and they went away from God. And we all know someone like that. And if we'll all be honest, let's be real honest with ourselves and with God, there's been a time in our life where we've had that same consideration, where we've said, hey, you know what? I know all this stuff about church and I know all of this, but that looks pretty good out there too. And Jesus looks at his disciples and says, will you also go away? I know these have went away, but are you going to go away also? And in verse number 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want to ask you this morning, I don't know where you're at spiritually. I don't know where your life is at. I don't know if you're walking where you're supposed to be, just the same as you don't know anything about me except for what I present to you on Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights. That's all that you really know about me. But I want to ask you this morning, as we know the ones who have walked away, the ones who have went back and they're walking no more with God, will you also go away? And then I want to ask you the second question to that. Where in the world are you going to go? What out here is going to be so fulfilling? What out here has got such a pull on you that it can replace the love of God in your life? What out here in this world has got such a pull on you that you think it's going to replace the joy and the peace that God can give you? What out here in this world do you think is going to replace when you need peace in your life, when you need comfort, when you need joy? What out here in this world can give you that? Well, preacher, there's certain things out here in this world that make me feel better. Yeah, but it runs out, don't it? It absolutely runs out every single time. Yeah, but preacher, you don't know. I disagree with you about this, and I'm not sure about this doctrine, and I'm not sure you want to talk about this, and you want to talk about that, and I'm not sure I agree with all that. You know what? It does not matter, because I'm not the one that loved you so much that I gave my son for you, but there's a God in heaven that loved you so much that he gave his son for you, and his son was willing to come and lay his life down on a cross and shed his blood. I want to ask you this morning, what out here in this world is so important that you would choose that over the love of God in your life? I want to tell you, there's nothing out there that's worth choosing over God and over his love that he gave you. But he looked at his disciples and he says, will you also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I want to ask you this morning, what it boils down to is, are you thinking about going away, and where are you going to go? Because I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the only one that can give you peace when nothing else can give you peace. He's the only one that can give you comfort when nothing else can comfort. The only one that can give you joy when everything else in this world seems like it's falling apart. And you say, well, preacher, everything's pretty good right now. Yeah, I know. As long as the economy's doing well and we got some financial success and we have a little money in our pocket and all that kind of stuff, we think that everything's going good. But I want to tell you, in just a heartbeat, all of that can change just like that and be gone. Besides that, other situations in your life can change just like that, and all of a sudden your finances won't mean a thing to you in the world. Because I want to tell you something, there's not enough money in this world to replace your loved ones, to replace your children if they go wayward. There's so many things in this world that can go wrong. So right now, while everything is going good in our lives and we got a little money in our pocket, got a little jingle, and it seems like everything's okay, don't take your eyes off God, because there's nothing out there worth your relationship with him. There'll come a time and a day when you need peace, when you need comfort, when you need joy. There's things out here that's going to happen that nobody else can help you with other than God. There's some people in my life right now who are very special to me, who are not walking with God whatsoever. I don't know whether they're saved or not. My best guess is no, because the fruit was never there. And the fruit, I mean, it's just, my best guess is they're not saved. And you know what? I can pray for them and I can witness to them and I can talk to them. But I know one that can speak to them when they're laying in bed at night all alone. When they're thinking all these thoughts, they're wondering, is this really all that life has got to offer me? Because they're just like us. When they get around everybody else, they want everybody to think that everything's good, that I'm the life of the party, that everything's great in my life. But when they lay down at night and they begin to think about what their life is really amounting to, that's when I've got a friend that can go to my loved ones right there and begin to squeeze on that heart and begin to talk to them and begin to pull them and begin to love them and begin to show them, hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I believe with all of my heart that God is able to speak to them when none of us can. You're going to need help like that when nobody else can help, that God can reach down and help. You're going to need the power of God in your life. You're going to need healing at some point in time. And this world, hey, they think they got it's amazing to me. It is absolutely amazing. Not to give too many details, but Autumn had some really bad scoliosis. So her spine was about as crooked as a dog's hind leg. And what they went in there and they took her spine And they straightened that baby up, and I don't even know what all they did to it. Some of you medical people in here, Hannah's laughing at me because she knows what's going on. I don't. But you could take that spine, you straighten it up, and probably I told all of them yesterday, I said, if we had video of what they did to you in that OR, it'd probably scare us to death. I bet they was a hammering and had power tools and everything in there working on her. No doubt in my mind. It would scare me to death. And it's amazing what we can do in the medical field. It is absolutely, it's just, it blows my mind what they can do. But it is nothing compared to what the creator of these bodies can do for us. Because there's been times when doctors gave a diagnosis and somebody would go in for their second checkup and they go, we don't know what happened, but it's no longer there. They can't explain that, but I can. I know the God that I serve, he can give healing when nothing else. There's going to be a time and a place. You say, well, I got the money. I can go to the Mayo Clinic. I can go to the best treatment. Hey, that's nothing compared to what God can give you. Here's a couple that we all need from time to time. You might say, well, comfort, joy, and peace and all that. Yeah, that's good, but I'm okay on all that. You might say, well, healing, that's okay. I'm going to trust the doctors on that. But what about this one right here? Where are you going to go out here in this world that you can find forgiveness and mercy like God gives us? I don't know. I try not to be so honest with y'all that y'all don't have any confidence in me spiritually whatsoever. But I don't mind being honest because we're all in this boat together. We're all fighting the same battles, the same temptations. And I fall and come short of the glory of God daily in my life. There are things that come along in my life. There's temptations that come along. Let's just be real honest. There's times we choose to sin. And we say, oh, I did that almost. No, you didn't. You chose it because that was what your flesh wanted to do. And if I was God, I would probably look at me and go, boy, that's enough. Because that's what I tell my kids. I've done told you 2 or 3 times and you're still doing it. There's no sense in that. But I've got a God that I go back to and I go and say, God, I know this is the 14th time I've been to you with this. I'm so sorry. I've done it again. God, I chose it. Hey, it's not easy to be honest with God sometimes, is it? It's not easy to go and say, God, I chose to sin and I need forgiveness. But God already knows that, don't he? There's no sense in being dishonest with God or yourself. There's no sense in trying to hide it. And I've got a God that loves me so much that even when I go back to him for the 14th, the 15th, the 30th time, whatever it happens to be, and say, God, I need forgiveness of my sin. Please, could you spare me some mercy? Give me some grace. God, help me. Now look, this is the goal in this, that I may truly repent and turn away from what I'm doing. That's where it's at. And when I go to God with that, not one time have I not received forgiveness and mercy and grace. Now tell me, what's out there in the world that you would choose over that? What's out there in the world that would choose? He asked his disciples, he says, will you also go away? And he says, God, where are we going to go? Then Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, where to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I want to tell you this morning that God has the answer for the peace, the comfort, the joy, the help, the power, the healing, the forgiveness and mercy. And last of all, he is eternal life this morning. I was born, and the day that I was born into sin. Now, I'm not saying if I would die as a baby that I'd went to hell, because that's not what I believe at all. I believe until you reach the age of accountability that you're covered, that if I had died before I knew what sin was and that I needed forgiveness of my sins, that I would have went to heaven. I believe that with all of my heart. But can I tell you this? The day that I realized that I was a sinner and that I needed forgiveness of my sin, from that time forward, I stood guilty of my sin. I stood in a place that if I had been before Christ in the judgment, that if I had stood before him before I asked him to come into my life, and I don't care if that happened to be at 7 years old or if it was at 15 or whatever that age of accountability was for you and for me, if I had stood before God, my condemnation would have been an eternity in hell. That I would have stood before him guilty of sin, that there was a price paid for. But I want you to know that at the age of 7, that when I realized that I had sin in my life, that I realized that I had a God that loved me, that gave his son to forgive me of my sin, and I got down on my knees and I asked him to come into my life and to forgive me of my sins. Look, I want you to see right here. Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe, look at this, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's a whole lot of things out here in this world that tries to replace God in your life. There's a whole lot of things that tries to replace the forgiveness that God can give you. But I want you to know this morning that I am sure, I'm absolutely 1,000% sure that we are serving the one true living God this morning. I am absolutely sure that He loved us so much that He gave Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how can you be so sure of that? Because I want to tell you something. I enjoy a whole lot of things out here in this world as far as the ball and all that kind of stuff, but none of that means anything when you need God and when He steps on the scene. When you get that phone call early in the morning that you never wanted, where are you going to go but to God? This world tries to offer all of these things that they can offer, but there is nothing as real as God is in my life. There is nothing as real as God can be in our lives if we'll surrender to Him and say, to whom shall we go? God, we've already got the answer. We've already got everything that we need if we'll look unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Are you sure this morning? Are you absolutely 100% sure that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? If you are absolutely 1,000% sure that you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, then you have all of these promises that we've been talking about, and there is nothing out here in this world that can replace any of that for you. There is nothing out there that is worth turning back to. You say, well, preacher, why are you saying that like we're a bunch of hellions and we're looking to get out of church? And because I want to tell you something, I know what our flesh is. I fight a robe of flesh too. I've got one too. That might not have been the proper word to use from the pulpit, but since we did, let's go. We've all got just a little bit of hellion in us. And it's called flesh. And Satan knows how to tempt that flesh. He knows how to try to draw you. And even though that God is so real to us on Sunday morning, and God is so, I mean, His presence is so real, we can go on Monday morning and the devil throws something out there for us, and the first thing you know, we're off track. We're looking somewhere else. Hannah, come on, get an invitational hymn, please. We can be to the place that, I know I've told you all this before, but I can leave here on Sunday afternoon, and I'm going to go to work the next day, and I'm going to shout Jesus from the rooftop. I'm going to tell everybody about the love of God. I'm going to tell everybody about how Jesus gave His life for them. And before I get to work on Monday morning, I've already looked to the right or to the left, and I'm not where I should be. And the only thing I can think about is that mess over there. And if we're not careful, look, He asked His disciples, you've seen all these others go away. Look, let me just be real plain with you. There have been times in my Christian life, I'm almost done. There have been times in my Christian life that I have looked at Christian people who walked away from God. As far as I knew, they were Christian people. I went to church with them. I felt the Spirit of God on their life. They've been in church with me, and I've seen them walk away from God. Maybe you've never done this, because a lot of y'all are very, very much more spiritual than I am. But I've looked at their life and said, you know what? They've walked away from God, and they got more money than I do. They have more fun than I do. Looks like everything's working out for them all right. Why do I do what I do? Why do I try to live right? Why do I try to do right? Has anybody else ever had that thought? Would you be honest this morning? Use your head bob a little bit. Yeah, nobody wants to be honest. That's okay. Yeah, I see a head bob. Amen. We got two honest people in the whole congregation. Rest of you hit the altar right now. But I've looked and said, why do I do what I do? Why do I fight that struggle? Why do I try to follow God? Why do I try to resist the devil? And then when you go through something, and we just don't know it, but we go through something every day that we need the power of God on our life. But when you go through a little something and you realize how real God is, I wouldn't have what they've got for nothing. I want what I've got. I want all of God. I want to completely surrender myself to Him. I want to be to a place that when He speaks, I hear His voice, and I'm able to yield to that and to yield to the Spirit that He has in my life. I want to be to the place that He can use me, because I can tell you right now, there is no better choice than Jesus Christ. You may be here this morning, and maybe you're thinking about going back. Maybe you're thinking about quitting. Or maybe you're here this morning, and you say, well, preacher, I know that I'm saved, but I really don't think I gotta live, right? I really don't think I got to do all these things that you want to preach about all the time. Don't matter what I preach about, it's what God's Word says. But you may say, I don't think I got to do all that. Well, listen, there's going to come a time and a place when you need some of this stuff that we talked about this morning, and you're going to wish that your fellowship was right with God. You're going to wish that you was in a place. Hey, I seen some strength through this family over here. I didn't even think about it. But from day one, you said, God's got this. From day one, you said, it's going to be all right. It's all right. She's here with us this morning. There's going to come a time and a place. Hey, you didn't know that phone call was coming, did you? Had no idea. But you was prepared spiritually. You'd already chose God. There's going to come a time and a place when something's coming along, and you're going to find yourself, you've either right where God wants you, or you've went back. What's there to go back to? Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Preacher, I'm here. I know without a doubt in my mind that I have accepted Jesus Christ. But honestly, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not living my life the way that I should. I'm not choosing God the way that I should. I don't want to stay here. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I want to be where God can use me. Would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? I see your hand. Put it right back down. I see your hand. I see your hand. Put it right back down. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. Thank you. I see your hand. You can put it right back down. Maybe you're here this morning. Preacher, I've never been saved. Up until this point, I've chose everything but God. But it's time. I know that I need Him. I know and I want Him. And I want you to pray for me that somehow, some way, as God is speaking to my heart, that I'll have the courage today to be saved. Would you just slip up your hand? I'll just pray for you. Won't come to you, won't call your name. Preacher, I know that I need salvation. Will you just pray for me? Anywhere. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I want to thank you for how real you are to me, for being real, for showing yourself to me, God. Help me to realize, God, there is never, ever anything to go back to. But God, you're so real. And you've blessed me. God, I want to be everything that you want me to be. And for these hands that were raised, God, if they need to come to the altar and talk it over with you, God, give them the courage and the strength. God, that we'll all be doing what we're supposed to be doing and realizing and being thankful, God, that you are the answer to all of our problems. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.